Promises remembered. I want you to make a note of Isaiah chapter 43, verse 26. Don't ever forget it. It's where your Heavenly Father beckons to you and says, hey, remind me of all the promises that I've made to you so that I can justify you, so that we can talk about it and I can justify you. You know, it's not often the Father gives you a personal invitation to remind Him of something. Don't ever think for a moment He's forgotten. He wants to know if you've done your homework. Because before you can claim a promise, you have got to absorb it. Today we're going to talk about a promise, the greatest promise that was ever made to man, the promise of the Savior. Now we know that absolute conception that took place on this date. That's when the Holy Spirit began to dwell with us. And that's fantastic. Always when the sun's shining, make hay, okay? Take advantage of whatever you can to teach Christ. And Christ crucified, that is to say, who crucified Him, why they crucified Him, and the price that was paid there, that you have that salvation. And God promised us that salvation way back at the beginning, even Genesis chapter 3, where He spoke of Christ that would bruise the head of the serpent, but the serpent would bruise His heels, nailing them to the cross, as a matter of fact. But the promise of His coming is a beautiful thing, and you find it in Deuteronomy chapter 18. And let's go there. Deuteronomy chapter 18. One of the promises of God. Hey, you want to talk to Him about it. You want to remind Him, and you want to claim it. Don't just sit back, be a do-nothing. Talk to Him. Claim the promises and be blessed. It beats having the curses. Okay, it's your baby, and you walk with it. Chapter 18, verse 15, God's promise of the coming one. He says here, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him you shall hearken. In other words, I'm going to raise somebody in flesh body. It's going to be just like me. This is why Jesus would say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because Christ, the Father himself, wanted to pay the price for that salvation. And this is the promise, just like me. That's why He's made in the exact image, as God would say in the very beginning, let us create man in our, plural, our image. And in that particular verse, even in the second chapter, image was eth-ha-adam, because it referred to Christ Himself. Verse 16. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembling, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. When God appeared in the natural sense, that fire on Mount Sinai, it frightened them to death. Usually when you see the supernatural, it's going to frighten you if you're the least bit off kilter a little bit, or it will anyway. It's awesome. But what He's saying is, I'm going to make one just like you, with gentle, pleasing, can reason with you, one that won't frighten you. I'm going to send the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He's talking about. One that has compassion and love, that you can talk to, it won't frighten you. When He touches you, it will heal you. When He leads you, you'll be blessed. That's what I'm going to do. Don't want to frighten you anymore. The magnificence of our Father. Don't ever be afraid of Him. The awesomeness of it. Fantastic. Just think. That's your Father. 17. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken, that it frightened them. 18. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. He was the living Word. The Word became flesh and it walked among us in a person, in the personage of Jesus Christ that we could love, could even touch, could understand without being frightened. What a loving God we have, that He could see the needs of the people and what it took to communicate. You see, if you don't communicate, you can never have peace. Even in families, if you don't communicate, you're not going to have peace. So communication is a wonderful thing. And that's why the Father wanted in person, here, to communicate, to commune with you. 19, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. And then he continues on about, you're going to have a few false prophets. Well, how do I know a false prophet? Well, what he says won't come true. Well, what does that mean? It means that God didn't talk to him. Because if God sends one, like he sent Christ, every word he speaks is true. And things will come to pass exactly as they're written. You can count on it. It is written. And that's that. Amen. That's being the meaning of amen. And I want you to think now for a moment. You might make a note of it. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. We're not going to turn there because all of you remember it. A virgin shall conceive and will bear a child. And you will call that child Emmanuel. Being translated into English, God with us. The very presence of God. You've got to absorb that. Christ, as gentle as he was, when he walked by, it was Emmanuel, God with us. Do you know something? That's one of the greatest promises God ever made to you, was that he would send that one. That he would be like you. He would be in a flesh body, showing you how to overcome the flesh. Though we all slip up, though we all fall short, we can't be like as he was. Inasmuch as we can't be as he was, he paid a price that you can be forgiven for your shortcomings. What a gift and what a promise from God. You ever talk to him about it? Thank him for having sent that one, showing us the example of how to get it done. And yet knowing that his wing overshadows you to protect you, to lead you, and to guide you, because God, when he said, remind me of my promises, let's talk about it. So don't rob yourself of not talking to him about the promises. Well, how do I know the promises? Study his word to show yourself approved, rightly dividing that word, that those promises become real to you. And you walk with him. He walks with you. You communicate with him through the word and spirit, and he communicates with you. It's the blessing and the promise of God. But hey, don't be one of these people that say, well, nothing ever happens to me. Well, you never do anything. You never talk to him. Prayer is simply talking to him with your problems and being honest, because he can read your mind. He knows if you're trying to con him, trying to soft soap him, trying to get something your way over someone. He knows it. Coming out the gate. Always be honest with him and be blessed. Yes? Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. A virgin shall conceive. She will bear a child, and you will call him Emmanuel, which is to say, God with us. Now, turn to, and as much as we quoted Isaiah, let's go to Isaiah chapter 45. God's promises didn't start yesterday. They began in the first earth age. You need to pick up on that. You need to take the blinders off and understand His Word. Verse 7 of chapter 45, this has to do with Cyrus, but a type of the Christ coming one. Verse 7, God speaking, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. It just so happens that that word evil, I create evil, is tumult. Okay? In other words, if you disobey enough, I can cause a little problem in your life, but it shouldn't be translated evil, be that as it may. Verse 8, drop down ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. That's right. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation. That's the one sent. And let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. He created this earth long. He's going to tell you in a moment just about how long ago. Verse 9, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherd of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands. He's clumsy, he's awkward. Look how he messed me up. Don't you ever say that to the Father. That will not get you many points. Okay. He created you as he created everything. In the beauty and the wonder of this world, he is the creator. That's why he is your Father. He created your very soul because he wanted someone just like you. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Kind of like a slam in the Hebrew, like, can't you do any better than that? Well, you're it. So make the best of it, commune with Father, and boy, will everyone, will your parents be proud. 11, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. In other words, if you want to know something, ask me. There's no gender in that. It means sons and daughters. Okay. 12, I have made the earth and created man upon it, flesh man. I even, my hands have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. Everything you see up there in the sky, I put it right there. Right where I want it. I'm in control. I'm your Father. Should make you real proud that he has that awesome ability. 13, I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. And he shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for a price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. 14, thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt and merchandise of Ethiopia and the Sabaeans, men of stature shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee in chains. They shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God. In other words, there's no other God. 15, verily, thou art a God that hideth thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. In other words, your work is a mystery to some people. Beloved, don't let it be to you. Rip the veil of those things that have been kept hidden by understanding the first earth age and what happened there. And then you find that God never works in a mystery. It's all wide open. It's just that people have lack of understanding. Why? They won't remind him of the promises. They are too proud to ask him for a little help. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together. They are makers of idols. They like to worship whatever they can find, whatever they can make. It may be a business. It may be a job. It could be most anything. They just like to do that. Okay. instead of, so it's so easy to love him, especially after he sent that one. 17, but Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. We're not just playing part-time stuff. Everlasting. You shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end, or even unto the end of the world. You're going to have it there with him, for him, and by him. 18, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens. Listen carefully. God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. Don't you ever forget that. That's very, very important. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. It was wonderful. The word vain here is tuhu. It means utterly void and destroyed. He didn't create it that way. I am the Lord and there is none else. This explains the second verse in Genesis chapter 1 where it states the word, where it says the world was void and without form. The world became void and without form. God doesn't create anything in a destroyed sense. He's a better manager than that. It was destroyed at Satan's rebellion. That's what he's letting you know here. I didn't make it void. I created it to be inhabited. It was beautiful. Everything in its proper place. Everything as it should be. Verse 19, I have not spoken in secret, not if you'll open your eyes and look, in a dark place of the earth. I said unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain? I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. I don't try to hide things from you. And I don't want you to try to seek me in destruction. Find me in the beauty of the habitation, and as it shall be. Verse 20, assemble yourselves, and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations that have no knowledge, that set up the wood and their graven images, and pray unto a God that cannot save. And beloved, listen to me. If you're studying with a group that's going to fly away, guess who they're going with? It's not our Father. For he has never written, I'll fly you away. As a matter of fact, in Ezekiel 13, he says, I'm against it. He wants you to stand against the corruption, the deception, as it's written in Mark 13. You have a destiny and a purpose. And that's why he sent that Savior. Not a part-time thing, but eternal. Tell ye, this 21, tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? In the first earth age, who declared this even back then? He did. Who hath told it from that time? Question. God's elect have. Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior? There is none else beside me. And so it is. 22. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. You're not going to find salvation anywhere else. Well, they told me all I had to do was just not even study the book of Revelations and just fly away. But I was saved. That's not what God says. Who did you believe? Who deceived you? Who has you eating out of Satan's hand? You don't need that. You rather need the Word of God and the promise of God. Hey, remind him of his promise. Talk to him about it. Tell him you want better understanding of it and clarity. Clarify it. He'll do it when you communicate with him. He invited you to talk to him. Don't ever forget to if you have any doubts. 23, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out. You can't swear by any greater than God. Of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. On the first day of the millennium, you have a great part in that, beloved, as one of God's elect in bringing that first day of the millennium to pass, and how precious it is. 24, surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. 25 to complete. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. A destiny, beloved. Listen to the word of God. God did not create this earth void and without form, as many would have you believe. It was beautiful. And you know something? It's going back to that. He's going to rejuvenate it again. That's what Revelation 21 stipulates. Even though it says new, in the Greek it's rejuvenate. And God himself will bring that forth. And how precious it is. And he opens it to whomsoever will. Turn over to the 49th chapter of this same book. Isaiah 49, verse 1. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he has, the Savior. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me and made me a polished shaft. In this quiver hath he hid me. And there, hidden 30 years in Nazareth, and then the ministry became. And his tongue is a sharp two-edged sword. God's word cuts both ways, but it's always healing. It's always protecting. Always blessing. Unless you've really gone the wrong path. 3, and said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. In other words, the Prince of God is going to come forth from this people. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord and my work with my God. I'm going to have the victory. Listen, times are rough, and there are influences that draw people away from the truth. So be it. Don't you waver. It will look as though you're losing ground. You're not. You've read the back of the book. We win. Okay. So don't ever be discouraged. Don't let a little bad news get you down. Okay. Because this is the good news. And that tongue is sharper than a two-edged sword. Nothing. Nothing can stand in his way. Verse 5, and now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, to be the Savior. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. God always gives you your strength if you'll ask him, if you'll remind him. That's his promise. Promised it in the Psalms and many other places. Do you latch on to that strength in your life, or do you just float along in weakness? Don't do that. Be strong and be of good courage in the Lord God Almighty. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. Whomsoever will. Everyone that believes upon that one promise, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got eternal life. How blessed you are. It's God's promise. Remind him of that promise and hang on to it. Do that is right. communicate with Almighty God and be blessed. Be of good courage, for God will never leave thee, He will never forsake you. 7, thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel. That's kinsman redeemer. Okay. Why? Because you're His kin. And His Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and He shall choose thee. Why? He loves you. Verse 8, thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time, you're coming up on it, my friends, be ready. And have I heard thee? And in the day of salvation have I helped thee? He'll do it. Hey, you understand that's a promise also for you? Do you want His help? Remind Him. And I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. What a time for a destiny and a purpose. Serving the living God, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways of their pastures, and their pastures shall be in all high places, feeding on the word of God, the sheep of the Lord. Verse 10 to complete this chapter. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor the sun smite them, for He that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall He guide them. Those deep springs that run deep is called truth. And truth is always a winner for our people. Hey, you know something? That's His promise to you. Claim it. But you've got to do a little more than claim it. You've got to talk to Him about it. You know, when you have that moment, if you ever waver, hey, talk to Him. Be of good courage. Do not be afraid. God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. That's His promise. Remind Him. Do you ever get to feeling lonely and say, I'm just all alone? No, you're not. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. That's His promise. So that brings us to the time that this promise came forth. Luke chapter 2. There we've been covering that promise in the Old Testament. In this chapter, it comes to life. The Holy Spirit began to dwell with us at conception. And we thank our Father for that. But then there came that time, at the time of full delivery. This event transpired. Chapter 2, verse 1, Luke. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. That's to say, enrolled or registered. It's a census-taking time, just as it is for us this coming year. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Verse 3, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. That's to say, place of birth. 4, and Joseph, this is Mary's husband, which had nothing to do with the birth of Christ. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And so it was. Mary's father was also of the lineage of the house of David. Her mother was a Levite. Her lineage was of Aaron. Verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. It's time. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And here the Son of God, the richest person that would ever be, born in a manger for animals in the world, showing that he came here for us, for people, not to kings and queens only, but also, if they believe. But here, God saw fit to set this example to show you he wanted someone just as he had promised, just like you, just like you, that this prophet would come. And here he is, this babe, swaddled and in that manger. 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock at night. This is one of the things that lets you know it's not December the 25th, all right? But that's well and good. That's when the Holy Spirit began dwelling with us, the conception. Verse 9, and lo, listen carefully, what happened? And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. That supernatural influence will do that to you. But do you understand who the angel of the Lord is? That's the very Spirit of God Himself. That's God's presence with us in spiritual form, usually known as the Holy Spirit also. He delivered this message. This was His only begotten child. This was Emmanuel, God with us. He promised, He delivered, and we have a Savior. Verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. How many was that again? Was that just Israel? No, all people, everywhere. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And so it was. That day, that blessed day, we had that Christ, Jesus Christ. Jesus means what in the Hebrew tongue? Yeshua. Yahweh's Savior, sent salvation to one and to all whom would believe. And Christ in the Greek tongue is Christos, which means the anointed one, like we anoint with oil. That's the etymology of His name, as rubbing, anointing with oil. Our blessing, God's promise, He delivered, and you have Him. That one that had a tongue as sharp as a two-edged sword, if anyone moved against His children, you are those children. He protects you. He strengthens you when you remind Him, when you talk to Him, the promises of God. This is why when we started, and that verse is so ever important to you, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 26. Remind me of my promises. Let's talk about it so that I can justify you. Do you know what justify you means? So that I can make it right and just for you. So that I can help you communicate with Him. That's what He wants. That babe would grow to be that one that would be crucified. And even while He was in the tomb, He went back to all of those and set the prisoners free. All the way back to the time of Noah, He made salvation available to those born before salvation was possible. That is to say, except through the law, which is almost an impossibility. And He freed them Well, why did God do that? Because he loves all of his children. Communicate with him. He loves you, and you are at that time of conception. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for the privilege of serving you. Thank you, Father, for your many promises that we remind you and communicate with you about, Father. Bless these and let them be a blessing to all they come in contact with, Father. We ask it in Yeshua, Jesus' precious name.